In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Queen of the Apostles,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saints Philip and James,
pray for us.
Saints John Paul II and John the 23rd, our patron saints and guardian angels,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Today we celebrate in the Church's liturgical calendar Saints Philip and James, two of the original 12 apostles who gave their lives for the spreading of the faith, because that's why we wear red today. They shed their blood for witnessing to the truth of the resurrection, which we heard today in the first reading about the witness and the testimony that St. Paul gives about how our Lord appeared after his resurrection to all the apostles, and then to 500, and he gave many people evidence of his resurrection. Our Lord did not keep his resurrection a secret. And that was the truth that fired the apostles to go out to all the ends of the earth to spread the faith, to give their very lives for this faith. As it says, I handed on to you as first importance what I also received. The apostles received this faith that they preached. They didn't make it up. They received it from Christ. The teaching of the church, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us, is the teaching of Christ. It's the very teaching of Christ that they received from Christ's own lips. And they have taken that teaching throughout all the world. We say that our faith rests on the witness of the apostles, that the original 12 apostles, you know, after Judas betrayed our Lord and St. Matthias was made his replacement, that they went out to the far corners of the world to spread this faith. And that the faith of the church is not changed from the time of the apostles. The last part of public revelation ended with the death of the last apostle, which was St. John the Evangelist. There's no more public revelation after that. You know, though everything that we needed to know to save our souls has been given to us after the death of John the Evangelist. And so this deposit of faith, as we call it, this deposit, because God gave it to them, deposited with them and with his church, to be held just like any deposit, which is something very valuable. You put it in a bank if it's money. And if it's the faith, you put it in the church to be held and kept and to be promulgated, and it hasn't changed one iota since the time of Peter and the apostles, because that's the guarantee of our Lord himself. He said, go out to all the world and preach the good news, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that the apostles spread was devotion to Our Lady. We can find the apostolic tradition of devotion to Our Lady, because it was handed on to them by Christ himself from the cross. When he looked down on John and his mother standing at the foot of the cross, he said, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. That was a command of our Lord. The word ecce is a very strong word. It says, take and look at. Take and behold, as the English says, behold your mother. And it says that John took her into his home. John represents there everybody who is a beloved disciple. And that this devotion to Our Lady was spread, you know, is quite evident in the fact that we find in the earliest writings of the church, even in the catacombs in Rome, where the Christians gathered to pray, that not only did they write the names of Peter and the apostles, but the people would put Maria or Ave Maria on the, they would write that into the stone of the catacombs. They already had this devotion. They understood that Our Lady was a central part of their faith. And one of the earliest known fragments of, you know, the Dead Sea Scrolls, one of the earliest known fragments that It's from the third century, that's the 200s. One of those little pieces of the Dead Sea Scroll is a little piece of the prayer Subtuum Praesidium, an old ancient prayer, which says, "We fly to your patronage, O Holy Mother of God." Already in the 200s, that was so much on the lips of the faithful that they were invoking Our Lady under her patronage. It means under her protection. And something that should be close to us here in the United States, you know. Long before Christopher Columbus came to discover the New World, there's evidence that the Vikings came and discovered Greenland and already Newfoundland and that part of the New World by 1000. They have an inscription in Greenland that the Vikings came and discovered the New World already by the year 1000. And an interesting little stone that was found in Minnesota called the Kensington Rune, which has on it ancient writings. Some say it's a forgery or a hoax, but others say that it may have very well evidence that the Vikings even came as far as Minnesota. It dates back to possibly the 1400s or even earlier. That in this little inscription that the Vikings left, it was talking about how they were experiencing terrible hardships. And it ends with a very interesting inscription. It says, "Ave Maria, protect us from all evil. Amen." Now, it's interesting to note that the historians who looked at that stone, they didn't look at that inscription of "Ave Maria, deliver us from evil" as being part of the forgery. And they said, no, we can believe that that would be something they would write because everybody knew that the early explorers, the early Vikings, were all Christian, that they were Catholic. And that so much was the faith a part of them that they wouldn't even hesitate to invoke her in something so common as even a little writing that they put on a stone. That when they look at it as being possibly a forgery, the forgers say, no, that doesn't indicate that it might be a forgery. That's not the thing that would give it away, because we could believe that that's how they would end their writings. What they say is, well, the reason we think it might be a forgery because it translates too well into modern Scandinavian. But the fact that they invoked Our Lady, and even said that they used a little inscription when they wrote Ave Maria. It was just AVM, and they put a little notch on the V, which they said 20th century forgers or even 19th century forgers would not know about this common little inscription that they made when they made the V in writing or when they chiseled in their letters. But we already see that, you know, the faith and devotion to Our Lady throughout Christendom, even Vikings, who we think of, you know, these guys running around with horns on their head and probably a bunch of barbarians, that they would even invoke Our Lady when they were in danger. So, you know, it shows us that faith in Our Lady and faith and devotion to her is something that the whole church has received from the earliest days. And even more so, that the popes throughout the ages have seen the importance of Our Lady and have, of course, given us papal definitions, defined dogmas regarding her. And even today, in this whole aspect of consecration to her, has always been a part of the tradition of the church. That the church has looked upon our Lord's words of "Behold your mother," and taking her into her home, as being a part of this tradition that has been left on, handed on to us by Christ himself, that he handed over to us his mother. And the church has taken her into her home, into its heart, and has meditated on this mystery throughout the ages. And you might say that it has been given a special papal approval, and that in the 20th century, God raised up to the papacy a devoted son in St. John Paul II, who, you might say, without saying anything but by his actions, showed that Marian devotion was truly to be something that was modern, in that what did he choose as his coat of arms, which all the papal and all those who are into heraldry say, why did he choose something was so untraditional for his coat of arms? What was his coat of arms? It was the cross with the M at the foot of the cross, and in Latin, totus tuus, totally yours. That it's almost as if the Holy Spirit wanted to remind us that devotion to Our Lady and consecration to her is very much a part of the papal magisterium and a part of the teaching of the church throughout the ages. That in his own life, Pope John Paul II lived it out. Not only did he teach it, if you look at all the Marian writings of Pope St. John Paul II, it's quite a large volume. And the things that he taught are nothing but the tradition of the church. He taught us that Our Lady is the Mother of the Redeemer. She is the co-redemptrix. She's the one who stood faithfully at the foot of the cross. And that we should take her into our home. And that we should, if we want to be faithful sons and daughters of God the Father and brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ and truly devoted to the Holy Spirit, then we must take her into our home. Pope St. John Paul II even gives us so clearly evidence of it in that in his own life he lived out this Marian devotion and consecration for himself and for the church. If you remember when Pope John Paul II would go to any country on a visit, the first thing he would do when he got off the plane would he kiss the ground. And that part of that kissing of the ground, he would also say a prayer wherever he visited, consecrating that land to Our Lady, because he understood that that was going to be the means of his new evangelization, was giving that land and those people to Our Lady. Where did he get that from? Well, he probably got it from imbibing that in the milk that he got from his mother growing up in Poland. Because Poland, unlike any other nation, long before it was even maybe considered in vogue, way back in the Middle Ages, made Our Lady Queen of Poland. And it wasn't just, oh, in our hearts we make her our queen. They actually made an official promulgation by the King of Poland establishing Our Lady as the Queen of Poland, and that she was going to be truly the queen, and that they would always honor her as the Queen of Poland. And that's why Częstochowa, Our Lady of Jasna Góra, the Bright Mountain, has always had a special place for the Polish people. And it seems that that was, you might say, in the heart of John Paul II. And then he got the other added grace of reading True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary by St. Louis de Montfort, which he read 5 times, he says. 5 times before he finally started to really understand the significance and the importance of this devotion. And with that in mind, and that God raised this son of Poland, but also this son of Our Lady, to the papacy was to remind us that in these times we must be consecrated to her. We must be hers. We must give ourselves to her and take her into our home, into our own. And it's interesting that when Pope John Paul II passed away, he died on the first Saturday of April, April 2nd. Not only was it the vigil of Divine Mercy, but it was also the first Saturday of April, because he was a faithful son of Our Lady who was devoted to wearing her scapular since the age of 10. So all these things, not only in his words and in his deeds, but in his life, are a testimony to the importance and the value of consecration to Our Lady. So I would say to you all that if we really want to live out our Catholic faith in its fullest, that if you haven't yet, that you will soon take Our Lady into your home, into your own. Invite her into your heart and into your home and ask her to take you to Jesus in the most fullest possible way. Our Lady is not an obstacle to Jesus. She is the easiest and surest and quickest way to him. And so many of our Protestant brothers and sisters would not look upon Our Lady as the last obstacle that they have to hurdle, but would rather to look at her first. I think their embrace of the faith would even be quicker, because she doesn't take us from Christ. She is the mother of unity. She is the mother of Jesus, the mother of God, and she will bring you to Jesus in the quickest way. And we must also realize the importance of our Lord's own words and actions telling us to take her into her home, us into her home, and take her into our home. Because really, it was Our Lady that he entrusted us all first. It wasn't because our Lord was worried about his mother being taken care of. It wasn't that he was entrusting John with the care of his mother, as it was he was entrusting John to the care of Our Lady. And just as Our Lady was entrusted with the care of Jesus as he was being formed in her womb and being nurtured as a child, so our Lord understood that just as he was in good hands, we would be in good hands as she would form and nurture us in the faith, that we would be formed into other Jesuses. As that is what Fulton Sheen one time said, that Christ, we know that if God is God, that he can make other Christs. Well, he does so through his grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the maternal mediation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He forms us into Christ. She's a very important part of the equation. If you leave her out, you don't have the full equation. You don't have the full expression of what it is all about that Jesus was trying to teach us and to help us to do. That we, as we come to Mass, we hear our Lord say every time we hear the words of the priest at consecration, "This is my body and this is my blood." And as we know, that is the representation of our Lord's sacrifice at Calvary. But Pope John Paul II also said in his work on the Eucharist, said that also at every Mass when we hear those words, "This is my body and this is my blood," we also hear repeated, "Woman, behold your son, son, behold your mother." That just as we are at the consecration of the bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, we're also there at the consecration of us all to his mother. And to the degree that we take her into our home, then that body and blood of Christ that we receive at Holy Communion will not be in vain. That it will truly, truly, truly be our life and our sustenance. That it will truly be the food of angels that will bring us to heaven, because we are receiving him in the same kind of spirit and love and example as Our Lady received him into her heart, into her womb, and into her life. Let us ask Our Lady in a special way to help us to truly behold her and to take her into our home, and in doing so that we have confidence and we have the assurance to know that when she comes to us, she brings Jesus to us in the most fullest and complete manner. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.